The following is brought to you by the Starfleet Podcast Network, SPN, The Spin.
And that's one thing with Jim's films that you watch. You know, they're not meant to be these gigantic blockbuster films. It's on J.J. Abrams level, you know. You're meant to watch them when you're in a certain mood, or if you're in a grumpy mood, you're like, man, I'm pissed off. I'm going to watch a Jim film. And then when you're done watching, you're like, I'm kind of happy now. You know, I can go on about my day, you know.
Red alert. Hey everyone, it's Big J, and in just a moment, I'll be presenting you with Commodore Boone Returns from Commodore Productions. Afterwards, please join our critical, not cynical review for our discussions and reactions to the film. Without further ado, here is Commodore Boone Returns.
I tell you, being in jail really sucks. Being released from the Hooskows, from the jail here. All charges dropped. Oh yeah!
Welcome to Galaxy News. Your reporter will be with you shortly.
I'm Zion, your news reporter for the morning. We got breaking news. Commodore Boone and USS Ajax is returning back to Starfleet Command. Yeah, that's great news. That is great news. Commodore Boone was accused of crimes that he did not commit, has been cleared of all charges. That the judges seen through evidence and declared it falsified information. And now, Starfleet is putting them back in service again and waiting orders. When we get more information on this story, we'll bring it to you as soon as possible. Have a good morning. I'm Zion, your news reporter, and take care.
Thank you for viewing Galaxy News.
Captain's Log Supplemental. I just got released from jail, as I call it, the Hooskows. It's an old term, but I'm still in my court uniform and that, and need to get out of that, and need to get this beard shaved down a little bit. Kind of get a little bit too long, but I just let it grow. I mean, I was so ticked off and everything, trying to figure out what the hell happened to me. What really happened to me? I didn't do anything. I did not go and beam myself aboard Captain Ross' ship and do things that they said that I did. and took their crew and reassigned them. I don't have that authority. Only an admiral has that authority to do that. I'm not an admiral. I'm a commodore. There's no way in hell I have that authority. But if an admiral told me that I had that authority, then that's a different story. But I didn't have any authority at all. None whatsoever. And that's what I told the courts and everything and the judges, lawyers and all that stuff. Nothing. I didn't do any of that stuff that they said that I did. And I requested a Vulcan to do a mind probe on me, and they didn't find a damn bit of any evidence but for what I've been telling was the truth. I did not do it at all. Wasn't me. But I kept thinking when I was in jail that I was in my quarters. And I was swiping out and I seen a flash of light. Next thing I know, I'm in sick bay. And they got me strapped down. I'm like, why am I strapped down? Well, you beamed over to the USS Crytek and you harmed the crew. What? I didn't do any of that stuff. But we went through all the proceedings and everything and found out that I didn't do jack shit what they said I did. None at all. None at all. So hopefully I can get my life back together again. Kind of lost some precious time, but oh well. We'll just have to shrug this off, I guess, and put my life back in order again. But I do need to contact Captain Shepard. He was in command of this ship for a short time. That's probably why this room here looks pretty darn clean. It looks great. Yeah, looks pretty darn good. So, alrighty, well, I need to get out of these clothes and get my duty uniform on and go walk around the ship and get a hold of my science officer and see if we can figure this out. Commodore Boone, commanding USS Ajax, personal log, out.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable for what I went through. Unbelievable. Captain's log, supplemental. Just got out of the Hooskouse not long ago. Falsified reports was sent in, trying to frame me and everything, trying to tell me I did this and did that. There ain't no fracking way I'm gonna be doing that stuff. I don't know why they did what they did, but they did. And the court seen through it and says, I don't think so. So I was cleared of all charges. Cleared of all charges. That is great. Yeah. So Starfleet says, okay, we'll put you back in. You got your old ship back. Report back to USS Ajax. Cool. So I'm on board the Ajax, as you see. And they did some repairs. Did some overhauls and everything on the ship and everything. So, yeah, we can take her out on a cruise out here and make sure everything works right until we get orders from the Admiral to see what kind of mission we will be going on. So, we even got people in the background still working on stuff, as you can hear. So, yeah. But me and Ajax, we're back. We are back. Yeah. Can't keep a good Commodore down. Buckle your seatbelts. Here comes Commodore Boone. End of Captain's Log by Commodore Chuck Boone, commanding USS Ajax.
Commander Chief Engineer Red, personal log. I heard some good news today. Commodore Boone got released from the Hooskouse. Oh, yeah. He got released from jail. that darn Vulcan ambassador deal stuff. Oh man, I don't know. It just follows you through. It's crazy how things work out, but it does work out that way. But he's released. Yeah, he's released from the Huskals. All right, out of jail. Yeah, got cleared of all charges. Got cleared all charges. He was framed by who knows who. Only the courts know. Don't know too much about it. But I dare hear something about that. Commodore Boone is going to contact Captain Shepard. Oh, I wish I was a fly on that wall, huh? Yeah, we can see or hear what's going on. Well, both see and hear what's going on over at that time. Yeah, but yeah, it'll be something else to see those two talk. So, I don't know if they're going to be talking in his personal quarters or is he going to be talking on the bridge. I have no idea. But that's what I heard. Well, my ship's pretty much ended here. And some of these new engineers down here, they don't know where they're coming or going. So, I need to check with them and make sure everything's right. Go from there. Commander, Chief Engineer Red, personal log, out.
Captain's log supplemental. That's a great news today. Commodore Boone has been cleared of all charges. We were hoping that was going to be the way it was, and that's what it turned out. So now he is going to be going back to command the USS Ajax, which is now in dry dock, which is a new dry dock. And it's getting some general maintenance done and a few upgrades. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Ajax back out in the fleet, and I'm looking forward to seeing this new dry dock. Captain Mark, commanding the USS Crytek, out.
Comms, please contact Captain Shepard of the USS JOS.
Aye, Commodore. Calling Captain Shepard. Captain, picking up communications on Commodore Boone.
Wow, Commodore Boone's calling me? It's been a while since I heard that name. It's been a while. It sure has. Maybe he's contacting me to thank me for cleaning up his quarters. That's pretty messy. I don't like a dirty quarters. I like a clean one. Very well. Yeah, okay, well, put Commodore Boone on the main screen, please. Thank you. Captain Shepard, how are you today? Commodore Boone, it's a pleasure. I'm doing fine today. How can I help you? Captain Shepard, you and I have something in common, especially a certain Vulcan ambassador. I'm back in my own universe. Yeah, that's great. That is great. Back in my captain's quarters. Just like the other captain's quarters. It was over there at the other universe. But, man, I tried so hard to disrupt Commodore Boone. I beamed aboard a ship. I disrupted the crew. I sent them out anywhere I could find. I didn't give a damn where they went. I didn't give a shit. If they wasn't prepared for that planet, who cares? Send them out there. Hey, we don't care. No way, the hell of them. They're going to be out there. Live or die. Commodore Boone's going to be the one to get blamed for everything. Ha ha. But unfortunately, that didn't work out too good. I wasn't counting on them to getting a Vulcan, to screw things up. Nah. A Vulcan did the mind probe and cleared Boone of all charges because Boone been saying all along he didn't do it. Damn that Vulcan! Damn it! I wasted a lot of time over there trying to get things where I will be Commodore Boone. Me, Commodore Boone! Not the other Boone. I'm only a captain in this universe, but I want to be a Commodore so bad that I would screw him up so bad that I'm the Commodore!
Welcome back to Critical Not Cynical. This is Big J. I am here with several guests. We've also got V-Man. We've got Jim Williams, Matt Arnold. And so you're Mark's Misfit World. I like that, Mark. We were talking about the film you just watched or listened to. It's from Commodore Productions, Commodore Boone and USS Ajax Return. So thank you guys for sitting down and joining us tonight to talk about the film. I want to go around real quick and let each of you introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about you and what you do with the fan films and with Commodore Productions. And Jim, why don't we go ahead and start with you?
Well, I'm Jim Williams. I'm the creator of Commodore Productions along with Matt Arnold and Jeff Barnes. Jeff Barnes hasn't made it in yet. I guess he was getting some heat. I'm the director, producer, editor, all that wrapped in one. And I've been doing pretty good, I guess, because numbers are rolling up. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Your YouTube channel is over 5,000 subscribers now.
Almost six.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
We're only numbers away from 6,000.
Wow. That is awesome. I really need to try to make it on another one of your live streams. It's just been so stupid busy. There are times where I just feel like, have you ever been so busy that you wonder, okay, what did I actually accomplish today? I did a lot of little things, but did any of it add up?
I cut grass all day long, and right now I have a hard time doing anything with the fan film because I'm busy cutting grass right now.
Yeah, it's the grass cutting season. Oh. Matt, why don't you go next?
My name is Matt Arnold. I'm basically one of the story advisor with Commodore Productions and basically advisor on some things that goes on and also the biggest critic too. If it's not the way it should be, he knows I'm going to criticize him for it.
Yeah, big time.
And I was a big part of No Budget Productions with the one of the fan films we've done with Cody Dillon, and I helped Jim get it. I told Jim about it, and he got into it, and then everything went from there. And right. I've been a big part of it.
Right, excellent. Right on, Mark. How about you?
Mark Mather is my name, but I'm more of a production support guy. I help Jim on the back end of stuff that nobody sees, you know, with the, I helped him learn how to edit, and when we first started, he didn't, he did a little bit of editing, but he couldn't edit the way he wanted to. So he was having a lot of people help him. And it just took a little bit of time. And I think it was about 3 years ago, wasn't it, Jim? Something like that, or 2 years ago?
It's we're on our second season right now.
Okay, so 2 years ago. And then we just kind of worked together. And, you know, I just helping him along to learn at his pace. Yep. Because we all learn at different paces. And, you know, we just become really good friends over that. And then I learned the Blender program and design the ships for Jim too, and it's just like production support, I guess. And it's been a lot of fun over the past couple of years, and it's, you know, we've developed quite a small group of friends here, I guess, now from doing all this, which is worth more than anything else. And then telling Jim to be himself, and the people will find him, and they have found him.
Well, that's the thing about fan films. You know, when you have, you start off small with what you can do, and then you reach out to those that are like, well, hey, I can add music to this. Mm-hmm. Let me help you here. And then you find someone who can do, you know, maybe their thing is models on a green screen, and they're doing this. And then someone else can do CGI. They can add, you know, explosions or planets or whatever, you know, they can add that element, and you slowly build. And that's one thing with Jim's, films that you watch, you know, they're not meant to be these gigantic blockbuster films. It's on J.J. Abrams level, you know. You're meant to watch them when you're in a certain mood, or if you're in a grumpy mood, you're like, man, I'm pissed off. I'm gonna watch a Jim film, and then when you're done watching, you're like, I'm kind of happy now. You know, I can go on about my day. You know, they are kind of feel good films. You know, And that's when you're making them with your friends, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to, if you can't make a film with your friends, why are you making a film? You know, exactly. What's the point?
Absolutely.
You know?
Right. And the thing that I think is really unique about Jim's films is playing multiple characters. Now, to me, I think that has to be difficult in any medium.
It is.
Because you want to be play distinct characters, and you do that in multiple films. So not only do you have to maintain character one is this character that's consistent throughout multiple films, character two, character three, character etc. Different outfits, different voice effects or whatnot. So why torture yourself with that, with playing all these different characters?
Well, you can't find anybody else to jump in to help. I mean, you're on board now. And
yeah,
I got a Sci-Fi Nation. Jay, he jumped on board. He's a Vulcan, and he did a damn good job the first time around. I mean, time recording, he did a great job. And I hope he keeps up this good work, because he's great at it.
Yeah. So is it really... And any of you guys could answer this. Is it really difficult to find someone that will participate in a fan film?
No, yes. A lot of people will not watch a video and write their own script. Basically, at Commodore Productions here, we don't do scripts. I've done a few scripts myself on the characters I have done. But mostly, I feel it's a lot better if you watch a video, come up with your own words, write your own little script, whatever, record it, send it in. I think it's better because it's your own words.
So it's basically like improv in a Star Trek film.
Right,
so in that regard, you're basically, you've stepped outside and pushed all the fan films aside and said, we're going to do improv of a fan film and record it. That's really unique, Jim.
Yeah. It's different.
It really is.
I didn't realize I didn't realize you had gone down that road. I assumed everything was kind of scripted. I didn't realize it was basically like improv. That is really unique on so many levels.
Well, the first film that I did a recording for Jim got an email with the link to YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching it and I'm thinking, where there's no document attached to this, there's no script, what am I supposed to do here? And I sat and I thought, I said, okay, so I guess record a scene that mm-hmm. Like goes along with this. And I'm thinking, oh shit, I'm gonna have to, so there's no script, it's an improv. And I'm trying to think, okay, so how do I play this character that I've created, that I've going to be playing in multiple different productions, fan films? Well, how do I play that character in this setting? Because not only is it improv, but it's the films are kind of more of a comedic lend to it, more of a lighthearted kind of thing. And it was tricky for me to find that inspiration. Like I'm not even sure what to, because I don't have a full grasp yet on my character itself as to how to play him. And even you can write a history of your character or backstory or whatnot. The thing is though, it's like with any show, you watch the first few episodes of first season of a show, and as it goes along, that character really changes and develops, because nobody really knows. Like I don't know how to play Riker or Data, or how am I going to play Chekhov or Kirk, and you just kind of build into it. So, and this thought hit me one day is that, you know, I should play this in these films in this role, kind of like with a Leslie Nielsen flavor to it, like kind of look at it like that. And then it made sense. Then it made sense, was able to do it. So that was quite the challenge, just going off the cuff and doing improv with a character.
Yeah, it is kind of a challenging thing, but also the same thing is like V-Man said, it depends on your mood, on how that person is going to speak that day, or what the lines are going to be that day. Because, you know, I start off with a basic script that I write out after, you know, just to get me started on what I'm going to say. And then I just go from there. And sometimes it'll take me an hour to shoot like a 15 second thing, because I can't.
You got to get in the mood. Well, and that's the thing. Like sometimes, like for me, like when I write a script, like I have to, like people here at work, they'll see me talking to myself an awful lot, because I have to get in the zone, you know, and I do. And it's not uncommon for me to sit there and talk through a conversation. And then when I get back to my desk, like, and go on break, like I'll sit there and start typing, because I'm rehearsing like what's being said, you know? And like, for example, for the Commodore Boone character, you know, when I was having you in the film, I'd be like, well, what would Jim say? You know, and then I would pretend to be Jim, talking in that voice. And then I'd say, you know, well, what would Frank say, and pretend to be, you know, Grissom, you know, and being those characters, because it's like, I don't want to write, you know, someone that's not Jim, because I don't want Jim to have to act too hard. It's like, I want Jim. So, you know, I hired Jim for this role. I'm going to pretend to be Jim, you know, same thing with Frank. Like I had Frank for this role. Like I'm going to write to Frank's strengths, because I know that's what they can do. So I'm going to write the scene around the people I hired for these roles. And so like I talk in that role, and it's nothing more than just like second grade playing pretend, you know, and that's all acting is. And that's all writing is. It's all just an extension of childhood. And that's all us actors do, you know. But it's really, it does sometimes take a bit to get there in the zone. Like what you were saying, Mark, sometimes you may have to rehearse for 30 minutes just to get a 15 second clip, because you have to get in the zone. But one thing I do enjoy about your films, and it took me a while to get there, Jim, because at first I was kind of resistant to it, because I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? You know, you know, and it took me a bit to get there. And you can ask Jeff, because I was very resistant to it. You know, I you're gonna ask Jeff Barnes. I was resistant to it, but once I got past my own ego per se, and saw kind of the fun in it, you know, I could see, you know, you in a Ferengi mask, or you with basically like a stocking over your head. You know, it's like you're just having fun. Yep. And let me ask you, is it freeing to be able to just look at anything and go, oh, I can make that a character? Because I know for me, when I bought alien masks, like the gray alien mask, and then it was, I think one was like an Ood, and then like I've got like four or five alien masks that I use when I'm different aliens and Starfleet uniforms. And it was very freeing to be able to just be background characters in my films without having to go out and hire someone to do it. Is it the same way when you're playing different characters, just by putting on a stocking over your head, or your Ferengi mask, or you as Spork, I think it is what you call him, your different characters. Is that kind of freeing to be able to turn whatever you have at your disposal into a new character? Is that freeing?
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, it's free to me. I enjoy doing the other characters because I can be that character. I mean, mm-hmm. As soon as I get dressed up, put the mask on, whatever, and I look at that camera and things just start rolling. Mm-hmm. I'm that character. And I do enjoy that. I wish I could find other people to do the other characters for me, but that's kind of hard to find anybody. But it's a ski mask on the one that's got the Xenia on it.
Yeah.
I got two of those.
But I do think, though, like as much as you've opened up to having other people like Big J here,
yeah,
I do think that kind of sets you apart, especially knowing that you're doing improv. Like I do think that, like, that really is kind of eye-opening. Just because, again, that is kind of a, like, that takes a lot of guts. I mean, it takes a lot of guts to make a fan film anyway, but to just go out there and go fucking winging it. There's no like hardcore editor to do jump cuts or do a cut from here to this angle, to then to this angle, to then to this angle. Like, I'm just going to fucking wing it. Like, even if it's a 5 minute me blabbering on to you, like I'm winging it, man. Like that's a lot of guts, man. I think it would be more accurate to be like a Star Trek fan improvisation or improvisation. Fuck, what's that word? Like
improvisation. Someone help me
out. Yeah. I think that would be more accurate, and I think that would be giving you more credit than just a fan film, because that really takes a lot more skill than a fan film. You know, like, yeah, you guys, it gives you a lot more credit than just fan film. You know,
so what it also gives you, it gives you something, your character, whatever character you're playing. Mm-hmm. It basically gives you the opportunity to create that character,
right,
and that story, part of that storyline. And let's say for like whatever film that Jim does with, like, say Boone or one of them, say if I come in there, whatever he does, and I'll watch the video, and then I put myself in that position. So, okay, what would George Dillon do for this situation? Yeah, I played the character with Cody Dillon, which is, this is the great 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 grandfather,
right,
of Cody. So I basically, about the same way Cody was in his demeanor and stuff, and basically I just play him myself basically. But it gives you the opportunity to create that character to the story, and it allows you to do it in your own way instead of following a script and looking at what somebody else created. But, you know, it's still enjoyable either way, doing it with a script or not with a script. You just create your own along with it, and it makes the character more interesting.
It sure does.
Thanks for joining us, Jeff. Just wanted to let you guys know we've got another joinee here, Jeff Barnes. Thank you for coming on with us as well. You want to give us a quick introduction so the audience can hear who
Absolutely.
You are?
Oh, man.
Jeff! What's up, Jeff? How are we doing, man?
Okay, so you I don't know if I'm backstage or on screen, if I'm being
recorded. Oh, yeah, you're on screen. We're recording. Okay. Yep.
Awesome. Okay, so my background based with Commodore Productions, excuse me. We go back about 2.5 years working on very simple stories, going into more complex stuff. And then we just got to a point where, okay, so Jim has learned video editing to a level that is acceptable to a certain standard. He can basically hold 90% of the work for himself. And now it's like we just got to create some compelling stories that we can get out there. And with recent developments with some of his films that are getting tons and tons of views, I think he's on the right track. I'm happy to provide my insight and opinions on the matter. And I think it's great. So, Vance, it's great to see you. Happy to be here. Happy to join in. So, yeah.
And
not to mention your musical talent. You are an awesome musician, man. Like, you top notch, man. One of the best out there. If anybody needs music, you go to that guy. He is phenomenal.
I got you. Especially in the wintertime. I got you. So I got the most time.
Yeah, Jeff is a bit. He is real good with a piano. He's a good creator with music. He may be good with a piano, but I play the guitar and the mandolin. And me and him have done some music together on stream and stuff like that. Had a lot of fun doing it.
Oh, yeah. It's always good. You know, music's always great.
How do you do the improv for as long as you do, Jim? Do you have things scripted, or are you really able to improv each character as long as you do? Because I can tell you from my experience, before you hit that record button, you think to yourself, oh yeah, I can improv like that. You know, he improv a character for 5 minutes of dialogue. That's easy. But then once you start doing it, you realize very quickly, oh shit, I cannot improv this character for this long because I'm already running out of things to say. And you sort of panic and say, oh, yep, that's good. I did a 10-second, 2-sentence thing. And that was all I could come up with. So what is your secret there? Are you really that good at improv, or have you really scripted out all of this?
Well, I must be good at it. Cause like I said, once I put the uniform on and put the mask on, I turn into that character. It's like the Fringy Trader. I put myself in his shoes, the Fringy. What's he going to do? Now, I do sell stuff on eBay and other places, so me and the Fringy's got something to common. We try to sell stuff. So what, you know, how are we going to be able to sell this stuff to make any gold press platinum? But, yeah, I just put myself in the character. I look at the camera and I just let it go. And I get done. I watch it back again. If it looks good, I keep it. I show it to Matt, show it to Jeff, and they're like, it'll work. Pretty much.
Good. It's a hell of a talent.
Yeah.
And one thing, whenever he does create something, a lot of the stories that you see in are come out from real life. No. But what's going on, like his ship, for example, the thruster pack.
Yeah.
In reality, his truck broke down with the transmission.
Really?
Yes. That was part. He created a Star Trek fan film out of that, and went from there with it, and add a little bit to it, kind of change things. Or instead of thruster pack. And Star Trek was a thruster pack instead of a transmission in his truck. It's just totally in like a Star Trek universe. What it could be, and that's where how it got started on the repair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will have to say one of the fun elements, it's the galactic news that you do.
That was great. That was the first one.
That character, it's it's so off-putting. Because you're like, this is, I don't want to like this, and I hate how much that I do, but god damn it, it's so funny. Because you're like,
Red is funny.
it's charming. It really is.
Did you the Galactic News, have you figured out the lines and the references in that? There's references.
No.
The characters are modeled after someone. The news commentator Doinkin. Uh-huh. Listen to it. That's Rosanna Dana. Mm. How Rosanna Dana went off on this little tangent, and it was completely 100% wrong. That's Doinkin. Mm. Is Rosanna Dana?
Well, who is that? Okay. I'm not familiar with that name.
Saturday Night Live.
Radner. The character played by. Was it Radner? What was the first name again?
Gilda Radner.
Okay, that was that character. Gotcha.
No. And when there's a sale in there, and contact is BR549. Yep. Look up Hee-Haw.
That's what he said.
Look up Hee-Haw. That's where that is.
That came from Hee-Haw.
Yeah. Every time, like, I get a thrill. Like, every time that Galactic News thing comes up, like, I always, like, when I watch a Jim film, I can just let it be background. You know, I can listen to it, you know. And that's the charming thing about a Jim film is, like, I can just let it be in the background while I'm doing my paperwork. I don't really got to watch it. It's, you know, because it's just somebody in, it's like a Vance film. It's a comm box. You know, it's you can listen to a Vance film. You don't have to watch it because nothing much happens. It's just somebody sitting in front of a screen. And that's like, you know, I relate to it, you know. But when that Galactic News shit comes up and I hear the fucking dun da 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 da, you know, I'm like, fuck my work. I don't care if my boss calls me into a meeting. I'm like, fuck this, I gotta go, you know. I love it, you know. I think we need like little action figures of that guy, like little plush dolls. Like I would so put that in a film. You know, in fact, if we make one, I'll put that in Constar the Motion Picture for little Eobard to carry around. That would be fucking awesome. Cause I would like to think like 200 years later, like that news guy is still around. Like he doesn't age. He's still there, you know, like he's just a legend in the field, you know, like a space age Walter Cronkite, you know.
There's going to be more coming to it, but you know, since we're in the lawn care season, it's tough to get anything out right now.
Right. And, right.
You know, we've been working on stupid stuff for a while here. That's it. Yeah. But there's going to be more of it coming out, and there is more characters coming with the news commentators and news anchors, and there's more coming to it. So
that's
awesome. Is hilarious. Good. Yes. And that's something that you really don't see in Star Trek. If there's if there's one thing that we've maybe seen in Star Trek a couple times is any kind of news outlet coverage or news show. Now they had the guys, the camera guys in Generations for the launch of the Enterprise B. There was that. I remember there were some other instances, but so few that I can't say I could pull it out of memory. I can kind of picture it. I believe DS9 had something that was like news, Federation news related.
Yeah. Jake Sisko is like working for the news thing that he was sending off through the Dominion War. And they were like, you don't really think this is getting to anyone, do you? So there's a mention, but nothing really, no intimate talk of it, you know.
Right. No one's sitting at an anchor desk actually going through and doing that stuff.
I personally, I'd love, this is just my own personal, I would love for there to be like a spinoff of just that show. Like I would tune in like I would share the shit out of that because it is such a great moment. Like every time it pops up in your guys' films, like I said, it's a highlight for me. I sit up and pay attention to that. Like I cast off all my work when I, you know, nothing gets done for that hour whenever, you know,
that's your favorite skit.
It is. I love those. Like every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I hear that voice and I'm like, I love the voice. Is that just you, Jim, on changing your voice distortion, or is that someone doing that for you, or what, how is that? Cause I love it.
It's my voice. I use a sound box over here. That is a baby's voice. that's a baby's voice, and I figure all the green little need a lower pitched sound, just like Jeff's doing right now. but I do give a lot of credit to Mark because he came up with the news idea. I came up with the intro and outro idea.
Yes, which I like. I so like
we
that.
We both intro. Worked at that as well. And we do get on private chats, try to, and throw ideas out on what we can make down the road or improve the fan film. I mean, we all try to get together, but of course, lately, everybody's been busy doing their own thing. It's
just, right. Real life know, comes up. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, we're all lawn yes. care guys. Every one yeah. of us. Me,
yeah.
Mark,
so,
Jeff, and Jim. We all.
And Jeff looks like he's still dirty from the day.
Oh, dude, I am. I'm trashed from the day. I just came up here. I was actually talking to Jim. I was just getting done doing maintenance, and I flew up. Yeah. I flew out and did a property, and here I am up here on stage. I do want to speak a moment that, we are in the lawn care game. We work very long hours, but I'll tell you what, we got some wicked stories in the background. We're hoping to get put out there for the public. Some really great spinoff stories, some stories that fulfill sequences that have already been out there, which if you ask Jim, he's got some huge attention on one of the sequences that we're going to be building on in the future. It's all what it is, you know. We're best with the time that we got. We're not professionals or anything, you know. We're not Avalon level, but I'll tell you what, we got some good stories to put out there. So,
that's
great.
There's well, a that's lot the thing, coming like, out that we all have the ideas of. We just, the hard time, right? We've been having this since mid-winter of connecting with each other because all life things are going on, and that's just what happens. There's nothing you can do about it. We just got to work stuff through. But because Jeff's ear for music and background is
stuff like that.
Phenomenal stuff. Because he could come out, we were on a chat that one night, I don't know, several nights, and he'd come up with a tune in about 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
You know, and it's, that level of talent always impresses me because I love to see I love to be able to see people do that, you know, because I can come up with stuff, but I can't come up with what Jeff does. And I love watching that. And I love the process, I guess, is what I'm saying. I love watching people's process of how they come up with something. That's why I enjoy watching people become successful, because if I see somebody start from nothing and become super successful, I love watching that. Lawn Care Juggernaut. Kevin.
Yep. Bingo.
I love Kevin. I met him 4 years ago in Oklahoma, Acme Mowing. I was at his house and we all conversed and had a good, wonderful meeting. And Kevin at that time had 65,000 subscribers. And he was asking us as a group of content creators, you know, we're just little guys, of what he should do with his channel. And the biggest thing was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
Exactly. And we were so happy, and you know, because you've realized what he has done, he's changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are out there right now cutting overgrown lawns for free for people that are in desperate need?
Not many.
And that I'll is tell a you true what. Success story that completely changed YouTube's lawn care community. One man did that.
Yep.
And that I get goosebumps talking about it.
Yeah.
He has single-handedly changed the world by outreach of people helping people.
Yeah. And Mark is saying, I can literally count on one hand over the past 5 years the amount of people that have gotten to that level on YouTube that are able to offer that. I mean,
yes,
less than one hand. And it's incredible. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and if you look at what's going on with Jim right now, his channel is exploding.
Yes.
It's all because of Star Trek fan films. And it's all because he's being himself,
yep,
doing what he likes doing.
What would you say, and any of you guys here, Jim, Matt, Mark, or Jeff, what would you say has been like the key to that success, to the appeal? Is it, if you were to say, okay, so we've got this channel, these subscribers, everything's going really well. What do we feel is the thing about these films that must be connecting with fans, must be resonating with them? What do you guys think it is?
Okay.
Childhood.
So if, I don't know if I could go first or second or whatever.
Go right ahead.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to break it down to the nitty gritty. This may touch some feely gillies with some people. That's okay, because we're telling the story. So I've been working with Jim from about 2 to 2.5 years ago with the whole origin of Commodore Productions, getting the sucker up and running and whatever. I fell victim to another guy. Joined on with him, got involved with some stuff, and it didn't work out. And then, you know, that all fizzled out, and it turned into a like a one-hit wonder, so to say. You know, it was really good, one-hit wonder. And then I came back and I started talking with Jim again, going back to the roots. And the thing is, with the video that I created with this other person, really created a lot of traction for Jim, with at the time was not the intent, but it turns out that created so much traction for his channel. And once Commodore Boone actually returned and everything else with that video, it absolutely exploded. As you can tell with the views, it exploded. So that is definitely a series we will be expanding on. I can't wait for it. I have tons of ideas. Mr. V-Man, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's actually awesome. So what was meant as something not super positive turned out to be something absolutely extraordinary for Commodore Productions and the YouTube channel and everything. And it's taken off from there. And we got lots of ideas for the future since we got videos coming out. So I can't wait to see the results from that.
And one thing too, Jim now has a determination to do something, to be creative. And that's something in fan films. You have to be creative to make something happen. And that's something that he does have. And that's what everyone in this room, in the chat here, that has the creativity to create stuff. The make it happen. And that's what we all do. You know, there's times I'm so busy and stubborn sometimes that Jim has to just about pull my leg and pull my arm off, drag me across the room to make me do something. But you know,
get the phaser out in that day.
But the thing about it, eventually he convinced me.
And I got that phaser.
I got some good friends here, and I've been knowing all these guys for a long time. And you know, y'all like family to me, and I care dearly for y'all, and I do everything I can to help in any way. And it may take me a little longer, but I'm gonna be there. I'll be behind the scenes or whatever. Do whatever it takes to do whatever it needs to make it happen.
And I want to add to what Jeff said there, because of the first one, the original video that Jeff helped produce there, and then the Commodore Boone Returns. The fans are looking for that series of videos to go on. Mm-hmm. So you have to continue on with what the fans want to see. Right. And the fans will tell you exactly what they want to see.
Exactly.
Boom. You have to just listen to them. Yes, improv works great. It's a lot of fun. But you can also join the improv into the other ones and still have the same things going on. It just, you know.
Yeah,
it all goes back to Lawn Care Juggernaut.
If I can punch in for two,
on a niche that works, and he stuck with it and stayed with it, and you have to do that. And if you don't want to do that anymore, and you don't want to have, you know, if you want a channel to not go that way, that's fine. But also, you got a fan base now that you got to kind of, you know, they like, you know, certain people like certain things. And you know, YouTube's finicky though, because. Next week it'll change.
YouTube is extremely finicky.
Yeah. That's the one thing I always tell people when they're, you know, up and coming YouTube channels. I'm like, don't pay attention to subscribers or likes or views. Like, if you have good comments, you know, if you're in touch with your base, or like you guys have good live streams, like they're very active on your live streams, I've noticed. That's what's important. For someone like me, because I know YouTube, they go through algorithms where you can put out content all the time and nobody will fucking watch.
Right.
And then I've gone through, I mean, you guys have seen me when I went through a spat where I didn't post anything for, I think, close to 8 months. And I had subscribers, I think it was almost like 100 every month. And I'm like, why am I not fucking posting shit? You know, I think it's, if you're in touch with your base, which you guys are with your live streams, because it's very chatty in there, you know, as long as you're in touch with your base, I think you're doing something right, you know. And a lot of people, like, that's where they start to just tune out, where they make it about themselves instead of making about what's a good experience for the people, right. You know. And that's the thing that I like about Jim's videos is when he first started up. Jeff can tell you, I talked a lot of shit on Jim because I'm sitting there going, what the fuck is he doing? This is stupid. You know, but I watch them now and I'm like, I enjoy this because I get it. Cause it's like, he's just a guy having fun.
Yeah.
And I get it. You know, it's something that you watch. And what's that now?
I can tell you this, Jim's come a long ways from the first video he's done. He has really, really came a long ways in filming the video, doing everything, editing, and with help with Mark and Jeff with the music and all that, and a little bit with everybody behind the scenes helping along with it, it has definitely came to where it's at. Even with the story with Commodore Boone returning, it started off, and with the way them done it, that's a good like the character from the alternate universe. Okay. Yeah. This character is the one that came into their reality from an alternate reality. All right. He's the one wreaked havoc on Commodore Boone in the prime universe. Okay. He's the one that locked Roth up and caused a total havoc with the ships and Federation and all that stuff, and he
a bunch of chaos. Guess
who? Yeah, Commodore Boone. This one's gonna get the blame for it. But if it wasn't for a Vulcan finding out that what really happened, this is a spoiler alert.
Nope.
I'm gonna give a little bit away. A Vulcan is the one that solved the mystery. What really happened? That's what cleared Commodore Boone of this timeline, of this reality, from what the other one did. That's just a spoiler alert. What's going to happen later on? But there's more coming. Just watch.
For me,
there's more coming. I do have Boone and Shepard talks coming up down the road, talking about the Vulcan ambassador that started the whole thing when the very first video of Sari. Nobody liked the Sari video, even when we did the director's cut. Nobody liked the Sari video. So about a year or so, I thought about it, and I redid the Sari video, Sari Remastered. And people liked that one the hell out of it.
The thing that I think, just to throw in my thoughts on it, is that it seems that you've found a niche, however you pronounce it.
However you say it.
Yeah, however you say it. in regards to...
Put it out, man.
Yeah, yes. Something that sets you apart makes it a little different. And it's the same thing with anything you do out there. And I can tell you for sure, it's the same thing that I have experienced with podcasting with Star Trek. There are a couple hundred Star Trek podcasts out there. Right. And they're all doing episode review shows, and it's gotten to the point where if you're not an actor from the show, then you're just amongst all the, you know, you're all the same. Nothing setting you apart now. Right. The bar is there, and it's about, okay, so what is it that you can find that can set you apart and make it a little different? And with Beyond Trek podcast, doing a lot more of the stuff in the Star Trek fan film community is still fairly new. I really didn't start getting into that until around, I think it was maybe September, October-ish of last year.
Something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there. And and I had noticed the more I got into it that I didn't see any other Star Trek related podcasters that were spending time focusing on fan films. And to me, I said, you know what? That looks like that's a niche that's not really tapped or being looked at for this part of Star Trek. Is do something that brings in the fan films and brings some attention to them and in a positive way. And I said, you know what? It looks like that this is something that of the 200 plus Star Trek podcasts that are out there, I don't notice anybody else doing that. So it was like, this is a no-brainer to spend time on that. Now it's not the only thing that the podcast does now, but it's a big portion of it. And that's because for a few different reasons, you know, it's not like I'm going to be able to score Patrick Stewart or William Shatner, or, you know, I've interviewed, we've had Tim Russ on Beyond Trek podcast. We've had Will Wheaton, John Billingsley. So we've had those good pops where we've been able to have great talks with great people. But like I said, if you're not amongst the actors that started a Star Trek podcast, then you can kind of forget about it. When I see these films and I compare them to all the fan films that are out there, and what are these different fan film properties and productions doing that might set them apart? What is their flavor to it? And when I see Commodore Productions, the thing that I see you guys doing that I don't see any other fan film doing is it's more of a skit show in the Star Trek world. It's like Saturday Night Live for Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much like a plot driven film. It's in the Star Trek universe, but it skits.
Yeah.
I don't see, I have not seen anyone else do that. Now you may have creators that are like Joe Cepeda. You know, his films are really trippy. You're like, you know, wow, holy shit, this is crazy. I mean, they're really cool. They're that. And I told him one time, last time we were talking to him, I said, you know what, if I could be high when I'm watching your films, I mean, that would be something. That would be a trip. But you know, that's his flavor there. George Kahan, you know, he's got his filming flavor where he's got, you know, he's close up, he's close in. It's like submarine, you know, everyone's packed in there kind of look. And Vance has his look with his and Frank, and Avalon Universe has their thing, and Axnar has their thing. Everyone's got their and Sam and 543 Productions. So everyone's got like their thing, but nobody has that. No one is taking the story and it's Star Trek, but it's a skit. No one else is doing that. And I think that was an intentional, we know that this is missing, or was it just a, hey, we kind of like walk backwards right into it and lucked out and we're the only ones doing this kind of thing. So that's going to be what these are because no one else is doing it.
Right. Me, Matt and Jeff one day sat down and we did write out a script. We wrote out an 8-page script called Encounter at the Neutral Zone. And it got rewritten by another person that joined us, which was Steve Harris, and rewritten it dozens of times. I don't know how many pages it went to, 30, 40 pages.
28 pages total.
But it took about 8 months, and I'm going, why are we sitting here for 8 months writing one script? Let's try to do something different. So that's how I decided to do different characters, try to put myself in that character, as I've been saying, and just let it go. That's what I've been trying to do. And also, while we're talking about Steve Harris, which is the other fan film that said bad things about Commodore Boone, with his video, and Vance made their video clearing Commodore Boone, and Vance Major gave me the keys to Commodore Boone and Ajax to keep it going, and I got to wear a beard, as he said. He's got to have a beard all the time. That's what he kept saying. I think we ought to take all three fan films and make it into one. It tells a story.
That would be pretty interesting.
That's a good idea.
Yes, it does. It does tell a story.
It tells
a story. That is a good idea. That's a good idea because there's been some other stories too that a character was accused of something that they said he did. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he ended up in the long run, the character did not do that. It was somebody from somewhere else. And you have one story telling him one part of, okay, this person's guilty and this and this and this and this. Then you have one clears him and another one that continues the storyline of Commodore Boone.
Yep.
As present from that point on. And have it all put in one film, start from the beginning and go through the whole thing. Have all of it.
That's not a bad idea. It's something to think about. I will have to leave here in about a minute or so. So I'm going to say one thing and then I got to bow out, guys.
Yeah, we can wrap up here real soon. We've gone about 50 minutes. So it's, yeah, we can do some closing thoughts here.
Let me say this, and then I have to go because my work break is over. I started in fan films almost 11 years ago. Yep. And when I started doing it, everybody was working with these, you know, the fancy cameras, you know, the cool lights, everything, you know, very professional. You had to have professional actors, all this. And I was, I think the first person that came along with a cell phone was like, I'm going to do this different because I don't know any better. And everyone around me told me, no, you can't. And I was like, fuck that. I'm going to do it anyway. And then I brought my friends along with me and, you know, cause they wanted to do something different too. It is very encouraging to see you guys doing the same thing. Continuing to do the same things that I was doing so long ago in your own fashion. And I love that. I love seeing something that's, I mean, it's not mimicking the same thing I was doing. Mm-hmm. That's not to take away from you guys, but doing something completely different, like with the improv. I love that because I wanted to do something and say, you guys are telling me, no, I can't. I'm going to say, fuck that. Yes, I can. And that's what you guys are doing. You guys are going, I can do what I want and I'm going to go do it. And instead of being limited by what other people's expectations are, you guys are setting your own bar. And I want to say, Jim, as someone who has at varied points had hostility there, I'm very proud of you as a filmmaker, as an actor, as a friend. I'm very proud of what you've done. And I don't care about subscribers or views or likes. I care about you're happy. Mm-hmm. And I love that. Because you're doing something that you're passionate about. And Matt, same thing with you. You the first time when you were in I Warp Prime and you were so fucking happy to be in a fan film. And I was like, fuck yeah. Because I love other people's enthusiasm. To me, that gets me excited. And I love seeing you continue to do that. So, like, a tip of my hat, man. Keep that going. Jeff, I love your music. And you have... Yep. You were gracious enough to let me use some of that for Constar the Motion Picture. And dude, I picked through most of that. I felt like my family members that go through yard sales because they'll rummage through everything and just pick everything up. And I felt like that with your music, man. You have such a humbleness of spirit, and I fucking love you, brother. I really do. So it's awesome to see you continue doing these things because I know with all the drama that went on, it would have been easy to walk away and go, man, fuck this. Because that's why I left, because of all the drama with everything. So I'm glad to see that you haven't and that you've stuck with it. And Mark, I've never met you before, but you seem like such a genuine, awesome person, and I really hope this is not the last time that you and I have talked, and I hope to see you in these films, all over them, because it is nice to hear a voice of reason in fan films, because there's so many people out there that are just fucking nutso crazy. So all of you guys, it's nice to see a group of friends come together and do something positive in fan films, because when I started this place, it wasn't that way. And it's good to see that when I do tip my head back in and peek around, it's good to see good people come together to make a film. So that being said, I'm going to bow out. You guys can continue on.
There you go, V-Man. Tell little
buddy. We love you, V-Man.
Tell little buddy. Tell little buddy now he's doing an excellent job on the videos he's doing for you. I give him a thumbs up.
I will let him know that Matt says he's awesome. All right. You guys take care. Keep on geeking on, guys. All right.
Have a good one, buddy.
Take care.
We'll see you later. So yes, all the compliments to you guys for what you're doing and the films that you're putting out. And I think you've found a great spot to focus on. You found that niche. It's working. So hopefully there will be more stories soon. I know it's kind of a shame. We're in that grass cutting season, and that's what you guys do. And
more in the works. It's coming.
Right. It's coming. So that's...
That right there, Jim's waiting on me to put that on right now.
Oh yeah, got some lines to film.
Oh yes, he's patient. I'm 2 weeks overdue.
Oh yeah, you got to get on that. You know,
this right here is a mic. One of them microphone, one of them cameras that you do. You can use that like a scanner, like a medical scanner.
Oh, that's nice.
That's like actually a camera. That's actually
is it really?
Yes, I can hook it to my tablet and zoom in on something.
Nice. I like that. It's finding stuff that's around you on your desk or in your home to use as props. Mm-hmm. That's how it is.
That's the fun part.
Yeah,
because that's they did original Star Trek, like Dr. Bones is an upside down salt shaker. It's like scanning bait people's body. It's just the stuff that they
something like they that could be used like that.
Yeah. There's a scene that I'm editing for Vance for Constar the Motion Picture, and there's a thing that's gotta happen. I'm thinking, okay, I need to have some device that kind of works like as a projector that projects an image. Yep. And I've been looking around as I'm walking around the house thinking, okay, something's going to jump out at me. That's going to be like, I need a glass cube or something. I don't have that. Maybe I've got a candle I can empty out. I don't know, but you start hunting through and you're looking at stuff all the time. Like, okay, oh, wait a minute. Here's a prop. And it's all the Star Trek properties do that. I remember several videos I watched on behind the scenes of TNG, they'd be out at hardware stores, toy stores, whatever. Yeah. There was this thing. Data had it. He was in the shuttle. He's on a shuttle. He's holding this thing that had like two flaps that opened up. I don't remember the name of the episode or what he was in there doing with that, but I had the toy. It was a toy and I had it. It's just, they repainted it. And I said, holy shit. I've got that. I've got that toy, but he's using it like it's a piece of equipment or something. Yes.
Something like this right here could be used something like as a some kind
or anything could be used. Actually, with you just mentioning that about things being, I just happen to think because I'm always looking for something for Doinkin to be selling. I just happen to think a Habitat for Humanity's got to have something in there I could sell.
Right.
That's a half mile up the street from me. So I'm going, there's my props right there.
Yeah, go to Goodwill or Salvation Army, just browsing around.
Yeah, you'll find they're something. Around us. So they're around and everybody's down.
So that's the thing. So I'm a product photographer at heart. I shoot product videos and stuff for different companies. Now here's the thing. Our old antique shops and everything like that are gold mines for props that we can use. And then you go into color correction, the editing and everything like that. And that's what makes them shine. But man, there is usable props everywhere. if you just look. You know what I mean? You just got to go into the right spots. And they're usually, for most people, they're everywhere around. You just got to go there and take a quick look, like exactly what was what Mark was saying. Man, you just take a look. You can find so many things.
The most oddball looking thing you got in there is the one that you're going to be selling as a prop for something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're great.
And like you said, a toy. You've got the toy that Dado was using.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure as hell did. And you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio meme where he's, you know, he's pointing and whistling. That's pretty much what I did. Like, oh, wait. I got that.
There you go.
Going back to the start of Commodore Boone Returns.
Mm-hmm.
I give Jim two thumbs up for it because he done it out of dedication, creativity, and continuing the story of Commodore Boone from No Budget Productions. Oh. And like I said, there's going to be more coming. And I give him two thumbs up on it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Very much.
Looking forward to that. And for myself, certainly looking forward to being involved in these and continuing to play a part in the films. They're a lot of fun to do. And, you know, it's interesting. It certainly makes you be more creative. You know, it's a challenge. I like a challenge of here's a video that's as it is so far. Improvise your thing. It's like, what do you come up with? So certainly looking forward to more opportunities working with you guys. And I just want to say thank you for taking out your time tonight to sit down and talk for myself and Vance about your films. All right. And for everyone listening and watching, just 100%. Want to tell you, as always, to live long and prosper.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can support us at patreon.com/beyondtrek.
We are Beyond Trek Podcast. Lower your inhibitions and surrender your years. We will add inspirational and hilarious Trek content to your day. Your attention will adapt to subscribe to us. Resistance is futile.